This morning, we're going to begin a new series of lessons. I hope they really will go very well with what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. If you remember, we've been looking at the last teachings of Jesus, the last public discourses that Jesus gave before he went to the cross. And in those last words of Jesus, we see that Jesus talks a lot about our responsibility to God. Sometimes we think about the great privileges and great things God has done for us, and we will look at those today again. But God also expects us to honor him as God. And you remember, Jesus ends one of the teachings with, to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to render to God the things that are God's. That we need to return back to God those things that are his. Today we're going to look at a little different idea. And I want you to think with me a few minutes. If I were to ask you, or someone would come up to ask you, do you love Jesus? What would you say? Well, I think every one of us, the very fact that we're here, we would say, yes, I love Jesus. And we would do that without even thinking about it. But I want you to think about it. If you were at your home by yourself and in a room by yourself, nobody else around, and you thought, do I love Jesus? What would you think then? Would you really think, yes, I do? What does it really mean to say or to think, I love Jesus? That's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. What does it really mean to say, I love Jesus? We're going to look at our commitment to the Lord, because I think that's what it comes down to. And I don't mean this as a series of sermons to think about guilt, but to think about where we are as Christians. Where are we in our Christian walk? What do you spend your time thinking about? What are your dreams for? What do you hope for? Where do we spend our energy, our time, even our money? Because those are the things that show us, where is our heart? Where is your heart today? Is it really with Jesus? Or is it maybe not as close to Jesus as we sometimes would think that it is? So this morning, we're going to look at what does it mean to love Jesus. If I were to say to you that a young man was in love with his family, what would you think about? What would come to your mind? You'd probably say, well, he spends time with his family. Maybe he's into Little League or whatever his kids are doing. He spends time with them. That's one of the first things you would think if I said a young man is in love with his family. You would think that, well, his family's a high priority with him, that he really is committed to his family. In fact, we may almost say it that way. If I said a young man is committed to his family, is that saying anything different than saying a young man is in love with his family? Wouldn't we say that's pretty much saying the same thing? Do you think about the great commitment we have in family? Look over to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, God lays down in the very beginning what the idea of family is. Later on, Jesus will quote these exact same verses, and Paul will later as well in the New Testament. But if you look over to Genesis chapter 2, and this is just after Adam has received his wife, Eve. And these verses are given to us in chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now that's a very special thought. United together and one flesh. The one flesh is that one, the marriage bond. When the man and the woman come together in a sexual union, they become one in flesh, they become one in spirit. And it's a total commitment. Not only just giving your body, but giving your very spirit to that other person. And that's what he means when he says that you're united and one in flesh. That total commitment. And so we think about love, and we think about love being an example of, marriage being an example of love and commitment. And you really cannot have a good marriage without both of those things being there. The one in flesh and one in spirit. And I think we can see that, and we can understand that. This morning, I hope we can take that example and think about marriage being a commitment of very spirit, being a commitment of our physical bodies, and looking at our commitment to the Lord. When we say we love the Lord, do we mean that we're committed to Him or not? When we talk about love, When we talk about love in a relationship, I think you cannot have love in a relationship and not have commitment to that relationship. They go hand in hand, love and commitment. When we have our relationship with the Lord, one of the first ideas to think about is that the Lord has committed Himself to us. Now, we looked at this last week in the great gift that God gave to us in His Son. In 1 John 4:9, He said, this is how God showed His love for us. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and gave us His Son as an atonement for our sins. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, we looked at last week too. And then it goes into the idea that God gave us His Son while we were still sinners, when we were still ungodly. In other words, when we didn't deserve it, God poured out His love for us in His Son. He gave us this. And we're going to look at a number of verses today, as we've just been seeing a number of them, about the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion that God has for us. Look over to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is one verse we're going to look at a little more detail today. And listen to what Peter talks about and the commitment that God has made to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we read these words. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into a wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now these echo the very idea of that has always been for God's people. If you can go back and think about Israel and all the things that God did for Israel as His people, and you see the great love that He poured out for His people. He gave Israel the promised land. And if you go through, he talks about they gave them vineyards that they didn't plant, farms that they didn't cultivate, but He gave that to Israel. And He gave it to Israel with prophets, and yet Israel sinned against Him. Look over to Nehemiah. And in these verses in Nehemiah, you start to see the great commitment that God has made to us and He's made to His people. And if we read these words in Nehemiah, Nehemiah really goes through a very brief history of Israel and how God has chosen Israel and how He had made them into a great nation, how He gave them all the things that He gave them, and yet they sinned against Him. He sent prophets to them, and they still sinned against Him. He sent them into captivity, but He brought them back. Listen to the mercy and the long-suffering and patience of God with His people. As you read in Nehemiah chapter 9, I'm going to begin in verse 28. But as soon as they were at rest, this is talking about Israel coming into the promised land, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard them from heaven, and in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. You warned them to return to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances, by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. By your Spirit, you admonished them through your prophets. Yet they paid no attention, so you handed them over to neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them. For you are a gracious and merciful God. Now that's the same God that we serve today. And if you look over to 1 Peter, when he talks about our relationship to this God, he says, we are chosen people. I think of all the things that we think about, every one of us wants to think that we're special. Don't you like to think that? You like to think you're special. And here, these words says, you are special to God. You remember when we were growing up and you were going to play a game and you picked teams and you had two captains and you picked on one side and one side. And one of the things you wanted to do was be one of the first ones chosen. You remember that? Why? Because it made you feel special, didn't it? You knew that you were looked on as being maybe one of the better players in whatever game you were getting ready to play. We want to feel special. And Peter says, God chose you. You are a chosen people. The next word he says, you belong to God. Why are families special to us? Because we belong to a family. Why anything we did to be part of that family? We were just born, and none of us picked our mothers and our fathers. We were born into a family, and that makes us part of that family. And we like to belong to that family. All of us want to belong. We want to be chosen. We want to be special. And what Peter says is that God has committed himself to us to make us special, to make us belong to him. And notice the last words he uses in this verse. He has poured out his mercy. Once you were people without mercy, now you have mercy. And that's the same word that Nehemiah used a number of times. God is a God of mercy. He is a God of compassion. Sometimes we think of God as being way up here, and he doesn't really know us. The Bible always presents God as a God of compassion. What do you think about with compassion? You think about feeling, don't you? God is a God of feeling. He feels for us. He loves us. When you love somebody, one of the great things about love, and sometimes it holds us back a little bit, but when you love somebody, you open your life to them. And when you open your life to them, that means that person can hurt you. That's the very idea of love. Do you realize we can hurt God? Because he has opened up his life to us. There's a number of scriptures that point out that we can grieve God, that we can hurt God. Because God has opened himself up to us. God has committed himself to us. So when we think about we love Jesus in response to the fact that God first poured out his love and his mercy on us as his people. He's done that. He's chosen us. We are a special people chosen by God. Now look with me at our text this morning. It's over in John chapter 14, and we looked at it just a minute ago. We started our thoughts this morning with the question, do you love Jesus? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you a counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it never sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I will live, you also will live. On the days you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He loves me and will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. In this day and time, sometimes we like to talk about, well, let's just think about love, but there's really no commandments for love. But you notice the words that Jesus uses over and over again. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. You will be committed to me. You see, you cannot really separate the ideas of love and commitment. And obedience. They go together. And you may try to pull them apart, but you really can't. You can't do that in a marriage, and you cannot do that in your relationship to the Lord. In your relationship to the Lord, if you love me, you will obey me. You will be committed to me. You will be involved with me. And notice the words he uses for involvement here. He says, I will be in you, and you will be in me. You want to belong to the Lord? I think all of us do. If somebody would say, do you want to belong to Jesus? Say, oh, yes, I do. Well, Jesus tells you how here. He says, if you love me, I will be in you and you will be in me. We will be involved together. You will be a special person in the Lord. And you will be separate from this world. Notice it says, I will give you the counselor. The world can't accept the Holy Spirit, but you can. Now, the word he uses for the Spirit here is counselor. And it really has the idea of like a lawyer standing beside you, counseling you and being right there to help you. One author said maybe another way to look at it is the strengthener. In other words, I'm going to send you the Spirit that's going to strengthen you. He's going to be beside you as an aid to you through life. He's going to go along with you. the strengthener, the counselor. I won't leave you alone. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to send my very spirit to strengthen you. That's what's promised us if we belong to the Lord, if we're part of His chosen people, if we truly love Him and obey Him. Look over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is one of the chapters we're going to use in our study over the next few weeks. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 go hand in hand. But I just want you to listen to the first few verses of Romans 12, verses we read often. But I want you to listen to them with me this morning. Therefore I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy or God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, he starts off in view of God's mercies. In other words, as we've looked at, in view of what God has done for us, in view of God's love that He's poured out on you, this is the way that we should live. And how should we live? There's an interesting translation. I don't know if you've ever read Phillips' translation. But he has an interesting way of sometimes wording things. Now, I want you to listen to the way he words that second verse. Do not be transformed to the world. He translates it like this. Don't let this world around you squeeze you into its mold. I thought that was a very good way of looking at it. Because if you let it, the world will squeeze you into its mold. It takes work not to be like this world. If you live in this world, it will squeeze you into the way it wants you to be. You will conform to the world around you. But Paul says in these words, don't let that happen to you. Don't let this world squeeze you into the way it wants you to be. Transform yourself. We'll look at this more next week. We look at not selling ourselves short, committing ourselves to the Lord. But don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Be different from this world. You see, the world can't accept God's Spirit. Jesus said that. The Spirit of truth can't be accepted by this world. The world wants to squeeze out truth from you. It wants to squeeze out your love of God. It wants to make you like it wants you to be. But the Lord sent over and says, I can make you something different. I will send you my strengthener, my counselor, and you can be different from this world. That's what it means to love Jesus. It means to be involved in Him, to become like Him, is really what it means. When we say, I love Jesus, it means I want to be like Jesus. I want to obey His teaching. I want to base my life on this. I want to start living for Him. I want His Spirit to live in me so that I can be like Him. I don't want to be like this world. You remember in 1 Peter, he talks about the world of darkness and the world of wonderful light. That's really what's offered to you. The wonderful light of the Lord or the darkness that comes from this world. And that's what you have this morning to think about. We say we love Jesus, but does our life reflect it? Where is your energy? Where is your love? Where is your time and money? Where do they go? Because that shows where your heart is. Do they show that you love Jesus? Look back with me to John again, and we're going to end this morning in a couple more verses from the book of John. If you look over to John, and just a few verses over from what we read, look at verses 23 and 24. In all the Bible, I don't know of a better promise as what's made to us in these two verses. You think about your life and what you really desire in life. You think about the things that make you feel special. You think about being important. And you listen to these two verses. And you think about, this is really what life is all about. Listen to verses 23 and 24 of John chapter 14. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now you hear those verses. Jesus is saying, if you love me, if you'll be involved with me, I and my Father will come, and we will make our home with you. Now, is there any better great gift promised to any of us than that? To have the Lord, the Father, and the Son to come and make their home with you? You want to feel special? You want to feel like you belong? God is saying, I will come and make my home with you. I'm not just going to speak good to you or give you a few blessings here or there. I'm going to come and make my home with you. That is the greatest promise I know of that we can think of. He's telling us, I will have an eternal relationship with you. I'm not going to leave you out in the cold. I will bring you in and you will be part of my family in my own home. Have you ever brought somebody into your home? I mean, our homes are special to us, aren't they? And here God is saying, I will come and make you part of my home. That's what it means to love Jesus. To be involved with Him. And to be part of that kind of relationship. This morning, think about your life. Think about your time, your energy. Where are you putting your emphasis? Where is your priority? We understand what it means in marriage. If a young man is said to be committed to his marriage, we understand exactly what that means. Do we understand what it means to be committed to the Lord? Do we understand what it means to be obedient to Him? Do we understand what it means to have the Lord live in us and us in the Lord? To be, really belong to the Lord? To have that kind of priority in our lives? This morning, if you've never named Jesus as your Lord, there's never going to be a better time than this very moment. To put Him on in baptism, uniting yourself with His death to arise and walk a new life with Him. If you've walked that walk with Him, but you've wandered away, you really haven't loved your Lord with your whole being, why not come back to Him this morning and truly belong to the Lord? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?